The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at producer T. Scott. And you can also text the show, 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour. Shockingly, a lot of football talk. Probably continue that because it's the biggest thing going on. A couple of little breaking news things for you. One, not really breaking, just a news thing that happened over the weekend. Texans have re-signed Chantrell Henderson, who we barely knew him. He got in, what, about a quarter of play before he snapped. I'm okay if he's your fourth tackle. If Davenport's your third and he's your fourth and you have two new ones,
yeah,
I'm totally okay with that. Also, Rockets signing Kenneth Faried, who was waived by Brooklyn. I think that's a pretty good pickup. That's a guy who can do some of the things that Capella does.
So. Expected to play tonight, too.
Wow. Just going to throw him right out there.
Guess so.
But, yeah, he can rebound and pick and roll, and that's something they've been missing a little. So, man, they keep showing that play. I don't know how you miss that.
It's tough. I mean, yeah, and I get the frustration from Saints fans. I do. But that's the breaks, man. Mm. There's going to be calls that go against you. It just happened at the worst possible time, seemingly.
Yeah, and, you know, you hate to see games decided like that. I always say I want to see players make plays to win games. And in this case, so the Rams, let's not forget, they marched down and got the tying field goal.
Yep.
They came up with the interception in overtime, and then they kicked the 57-yarder. I mean, the Saints, if the Saints let that lead to the interception, then that's shame on them.
Yeah.
And I think in that case,
I mean, they were driving to win the game. The Saints could have – they had a chance to win the game.
Yeah, without the Rams seeing the ball again. And they turned the ball over. It was disappointing. I really wanted the – from a fan base perspective, I think I was rooting for Saints Chiefs because I think those are two pretty good fan bases that have been very patient, and Patriots win every year. And L.A. fan doesn't count. I mean, they just inherited that team.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, it's not like the Rams franchise is new. I mean, I would bet that there's still Rams fans in St. Louis. I don't know. I know
that the network's happy that they get
L.A. versus Boston.
Yeah,
of course.
They're thrilled.
But what we talked about, I mean, ticket brokers aren't. We talked about that Saints Chiefs would have been the best for ticket brokers. So, but what really matters in the end is, will the game be competitive? I tend to think it will be. I think these are two pretty evenly matched teams.
Yeah, somebody earlier said, why do you think the Patriots are favored when I truly believe the Rams have been the better team all season? I think the Rams have been the better team, but I also think that in one game with Belichick to scheme against them, it's hard for me to not think the Patriots are going to have a real chance to win the football game. So I understand why the money's on them. I don't have an opinion yet. It's way too early for me to think about what I would play here. But, I mean, I understand why they're the favorites. And a lot of people asking about Jong. Go back to Podcast Arena 418 in the first hour we addressed it. So if you missed that, it's there.
Yep.
I want to squeeze in some of these guys. A lot of people wanting to weigh in today, I guess.
Yeah. Let's talk to, I guess D's been waiting for a while. Hello, D. Sports.
Hey, man. Sports to you guys.
What's good, man?
Hey, real quick. You guys, y'all made an excellent point about, you know, you think coaches maybe should hire clock management guys? Because I'm like you. I don't think enough is being said today about Sean Payton and his clock management yesterday. And, I know it was a horrible non-call, and it hurts and all that. But, like, you know, if you run the ball, that don't happen. But I want to get on this greatest quarterback of all time debate. And it's not really a debate. I mean, you know, I heard AJ say earlier that Super Bowls have to matter. And they do. But, Fred, you hit it on the head with what you just said. I heard you say, you know, why the Patriots were already favorites. And you said, well, if you give Belichick a week to speak, you know, a week to scheme. But, ding, ding, you notice you mentioned Belichick before you mentioned Brady. I'm not taking anything away from Tom Brady. But when we talk about the Mount Rushmore, we got Montana and we got Brady. And what they both have in common is Bill Walsh and Bill Belichick. And I think that, man, that goes a long way. Because, you know, I'm not going to say that Tom Brady isn't the best. I think, you know, I think there are better quarterbacks playing the game. But nobody, with the combination of him and Belichick, if they execute, they prepare, and they're going to be ready for anything you have to offer. As evident, the Chiefs didn't score any points in the first half yesterday. But real quick about, you know, as far as the best quarterback, and I'm not going to say it's Peyton. I mean, I like Brady. I like Peyton Manning. I like Aaron Rodgers. I like all their talent. But I know you guys probably remember about 10 years ago when you talk about the ultimate respect for a quarterback. Bill Belichick was losing the game against the Colts. Or actually, they might have been tied. He went for it on 4th and 4 from his own 29-yard line for the fear of giving the ball back to Peyton Manning. So, yeah, you know, I know Super Bowls play a part. But those coaches, when you got excellent coaches like Bill Walsh and Bill Belichick, and even though Belichick is a cheater, they're going to play a part too. And, hey, man, thanks for the call. I'm hanging up listening to you guys.
All right. And I appreciate it too. And I do think Bill Belichick's a great coach, but I also think you should remember that before Bill Belichick found Tom Brady, he'd had one winning season out of 6 in the NFL. He got fired by the Cleveland Browns. I mean, this is a guy who he was the Patriots the year before they won their first Super Bowl were 5-11. So while I think Tom Brady is while I do think Bill Belichick is very important to the success that Tom Brady's had, I think you can say the same for the success that Bill Belichick's had. You could credit to Tom Brady. I don't think it's some sort of a magical thing where you need just a great quarterback or just a great coach for something like this to be maintained. It's kind of like the Phil Jackson Michael Jordan argument. You know, how many championships would Phil Jackson have won in Chicago without Michael Jordan? I tend to lean to 0, but it's not impossible.
I don't know, because they came pretty close without him. They won 55 games without Michael Jordan.
Okay.
So I've always thought Phil Jackson doesn't get enough credit for that.
But to me, it's hard in all those situations to play chicken or egg, like which one's more important. I think that when you've got a real dynasty, like who's more important, Greg Popovich or Tim Duncan? Who was more important to that success? I don't know.
I don't either, but I think they needed
each other.
I mean, I think that's part of it, is they work well together. But I don't think Duncan ever got enough credit either.
Yeah.
To me, it's situational, because there's sometimes where I think a coach doesn't get enough credit when he has great players, and there's sometimes great players, I think, that play for coaches who have a track record of success maybe don't get the credit they deserve either. And I think in Duncan's case, he's the reason. He and Popovich together, but I think he was the main reason they were as good as they were for as long as they were. It's just people didn't recognize him as being one of the all-time greats, because he wasn't sexy, but all he did was win.
Is Tom Brady sexy?
Not really.
I mean, that guy.
Well, physically, yeah.
But that guy called, and the guy earlier was saying Drew Brees, his stats are right there. He's better than Tom Brady in most stats. It's true. Peyton Manning was way better than Tom Brady in a lot of stats. And those two guys' careers basically went side by side.
Yeah.
And Peyton Manning was better statistically than Tom Brady. But there's no question who the better quarterback is at this point. And you make it to 9 Super Bowls. I mean, I don't care who's coaching you. You're a baller.
And not to belittle anything about Bill Walsh, who I think was a genius and one of the first coaches to really embrace a different approach that turned his team into a winner pretty quickly. But Montana did win one under George Seifert, too, who, once he left that system, not so good.
Yeah.
So
Let's talk to Lance. Not Lance Zierlein, because he's busy flying to the Senior Bowl. We'll talk to just regular Lance. Hey, regular Lance.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're going all right. We're going to sports.
A little question. I heard y'all earlier talking about Breeze and the way that him and the team kind of faded out towards the end of the year, and several of us, which are Cowboy fans, kind of think that maybe Dallas may have exposed them some on that one night. Just want to hear what y'all's thoughts about it.
I go back to I don't know if I want to say they exposed him necessarily.
Yeah,
I
mean, a short week on a Thursday night, there's not a lot of exposing doing.
But that was the time when the offense went from just dominant to. The offense showed up once or twice after that. They looked good against the Steelers. Not great. But if I took the time to add up points per game before that Cowboys game and points per game after that Cowboys game, there's going to be a big discrepancy, maybe even a touchdown per game discrepancy. So I don't know that the Cowboys exposed them necessarily, but that was sort of where it started to unravel. Yeah, in fact, I mean, the second most points they scored since then was 28, and that was the next week at Tampa.
Yeah, so everybody was scoring on Tampa.
Tampa just sucks.
Yeah, but, I mean, for one thing, I don't understand. I'll never understand this weird dynamic between Cowboy fan and Saint fan. There appears to be a lot of hatred there for some reason.
Well, you know what they have in common? they're both at home.
Yeah, they're both sitting at home this week. So, I think that was a very physical game, and maybe that is where Breeze got hurt, because that argument I'll hear. As far as exposing them, not really. I mean, I think they were running the same type of plays. They just weren't having the success.
Yeah.
And it something was off with him. There's no question. And if it's Breeze's arm, I get that. If we find out he's having surgery here in a couple of days, I wouldn't be shocked. But I also think that some injuries on the offensive line hurt, too. So.
What's it say? Malek?
Malik or?
Malik?
Malik. Maybe Malik.
I bet it's Malik.
Yeah.
Malik or Malik?
Hello?
Hey, sports. Hello?
Hello?
Hey now.
Oh, okay. I was going to talk about Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Okay.
Because everyone, all my friends and stuff, they talk about how the Patriots and them, they're the best team. Because, I mean, they're always, like, they're better prepared and stuff. But I always tell them, well, that's wrong, because if that was true, I think that they would have won Super Bowl last year.
I mean, listen, So you think the Eagles are the best team because they won the Super Bowl last year? I mean, the best teams will lose every once in a while. Is there any question that the Warriors were the better team the year they lost to the Cavs?
No.
I mean, that team was 73-9, but sometimes...
especially in football with one game.
One game, yeah, that's tough.
You know, Cristiano Ronaldo, he's not that attractive because he didn't pull Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, listen, the Patriots lost that. The Patriots have been there, what, 8 times? They've lost 3. I mean, it happens. If
to be there 8 times is amazing.
That's what's incredible.
Go look at all these teams. Do you think the Cowboys would take that right now? You think Saints fan would take that?
What fan base wouldn't take it?
Any fan base would take that.
Tom Brady has more Super Bowl appearances than any team in football.
But he's not that good because they lost last year, AJ.
Oh.
I'm
going to disagree with that call. Your friends were right, dude. Listen to your friends. Yeah. Whatever they tell you to do, listen to them.
Yeah. I don't even know where to go with that. The calls were actually really good up until then. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. If you want to weigh in on some of the football action yesterday, there's a lot of other stuff, too, that we'll get to. A couple things from the text line. It says, are you going to be doing a pick sheet at SHRP this Friday? I will be doing picks. They'll be on the free tip sheet at the racetrack, and I'll also be putting them on sports maps, so you'll have access to them. I also have something on the Pegasus Saturday. And somebody else says they're loving Dynamo's Instagram account. Yeah, I'm having fun with that, I'm not going to lie. Just posting cute puppy photos with her making fun of me primarily.
And you're learning how to use Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because I never was on Instagram because nobody wants to see pictures of me. But something like this.
Agreed, but
this works out pretty cool because you get to see a cute puppy and, you know, occasionally she has snarky stuff to say. So, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. What's that name on there? Don. Let's do Don.
Donnie boy.
What's up, fellas? Sports.
Sports.
So what I wanted to do, and I hope I didn't miss it, I wanted to get your take on Jared Goff, right? So I've always put Jared Goff in that Alex Smith category, but I was impressed last night with him avoiding the blitz, you know, throwing some sidearm passes. But do you think in the Super Bowl, if they crowd the box to stop the run, that Jared Goff can beat the Patriots with his arm? I'll hang up and listen.
I don't know. I mean, it's possible. He was able to – I mean, we can agree that you assume that Todd Gurley's going to play better in the Super Bowl, right? It's hard, it's hard to imagine the best running back in the league playing as poorly as he did. But that said, Jared Goff is going to have to make some plays. I don't know where I'm leaning in this game yet, but I will say this. One thing that I do like about the Rams, and I say this all the time about playing the Patriots, if you bring pressure from the outside, Tom Brady will eat you up. He steps up into the pocket and he finds extra time. That's why the Chargers, who have maybe the best duo of edge rushers in the league, or one of the best duos of edge rushers in the league, couldn't do anything against him because they come from that side and he's just able to step up and take his time. And you saw it again yesterday. The Rams bring pressure up the middle because they have two dominant guys there in the middle. That means Brady's going to be pushed out of the pocket. That means I don't know what's going to happen. Jared Goff, I don't know. I mean, Bill Belichick may make him look stupid, but Jared Goff's got different ways that he can be successful. Tom Brady's been successful for basically one way his whole career. The Rams are a good matchup for that. I just don't know. I don't know what Goff will be able to do on the other side.
I just have a sneaking suspicion that this game could look very much like the Chiefs game did, where Belichick has something that limits what Jared Goff does, just like he did Patrick Mahomes. And it's just how far ahead the Patriots get, and then the Rams will come back in the second half. So,
well, did they limit Patrick Mahomes? Yes. If Jared Goff throws for 295, three touchdowns, and no picks, I give the Rams a damn good chance of winning.
Well, again, though, what I said was they limited him in the first half.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about I could see them doing the same thing and shutting Goff down for the first half.
And then Goff making some adjustments.
Yeah. Right.
Sean McVay is going to make adjustments.
Yeah.
Whatever you figure out to do against him, Sean McVay is going to. That's why I have a hard time imagining Goff is just going to lay a giant egg in the Super Bowl. I don't see it. I think that kid is too well coached.
I think he's well coached, but we've also seen it happen. I mean, he could totally go in there and the moment's too big for him. And that's one thing. You know the moment's not going to be too big for Brady.
Yeah.
Do you see the headline on the New Orleans Times-Picayune today?
Yeah.
Reffing unbelievable. That's one of the better ones I've seen in a while.
Somebody also took out, I guess they put up two billboards. One says refs blew it, B-L-E-A-U-X.
I saw that.
And they got robbed.
Yeah. Listen, it's a giant waste of money, but good for them. If it makes them feel better, cool.
So what's your Instagram? It's Dynamo the Dog is the Instagram, if you want to get in on it. It's fun stuff. It's usually her making fun of me drinking beer, smoking weed, and watching Law & Order.
Do you ever take pictures of her her poop?
No.
Hmm.
Sorry.
Pass.
You can take pictures of your own dog's poop.
My dog doesn't have an Instagram account.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a phone.
Well, what a cheap bastard you are then. Yeah. Jeez. Sorry that I sprung for a phone for my dog so she could do Instagram. Golly. All right. I swear, we got to get something fixed where I can actually see these names.
Let's try Nasty Nate.
Nasty Nate.
Hey, Nate.
What's up, fellas?
What's good?
Hey, what's going on? Y'all doing all right?
Yeah, we're good, man. What do you got?
I want to talk sports. I called you guys one time about a year or so ago, and you guys said I was sauced up when I talked about Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien wants to be a dictator, want to be a Bill Belichick, and he don't have the qualifications, man. So those of us who are real Texas fans, we need to do something about it, man. I don't know. He got some pictures of somebody or something, but something needs to be done, man. Bottom line is coaching. We get our coach. Every time when we get on national television, we freeze up. Now, you know, here just a sick and tired fan. I'm going to hang up and listen.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that's fair. There's criticism to be made about Bill O'Brien. The reality is, it's going to be a while before he goes anywhere. He just re-signed a new deal.
Yeah.
Followed that up by winning the division.
I think he fixed a lot by bringing in another mind on offense.
Offensive mind,
really think that would help, but I don't know that it's going to happen. So we'll see. I've been on record as saying that I'd like to see them beef up the coaching staff with some guys with a little more experience and success. And maybe some different ideas, but you know that's the thing. When you are arrogant, it's hard to listen to other people when you think you're smarter than everybody else. And so you get guys who you want to basically do what you tell them. And there are guys who can be very successful like that. Bill Belichick's one of them. Not too many others can do it. I kind of feel like Pete Carroll's probably in that group. I think Pete kind of runs a system, and whoever he puts in there does it. But, yeah, I don't know.
Let's talk to Shannon. Sports Shannon.
Hey, guys. What's up, sports?
Sports to you.
Well, I tweeted both of y'all. I warned everybody. I warned Granato and Zerline it was going to happen. I just got back from New Orleans from my epic weekend. Did you check your Twitter? Yeah.
I'll be honest, on a football game day, I get like 300 tweets.
Yeah,
I catch some randomly, and I don't see everything. But what'd you tweet about?
You might want to check it out. I warned you guys that I was going to be on the field, and I was going to get Drew Brees to sign my leg tattoo. And it happened. I didn't cry like I thought I would, where you'd be able to make fun of me like the Saints crying guy forever. But Drew Brees knelt down, signed my calf. And I'm on my way to the tattoo parlor right now. I'm horse's duty, man, because it screamed all day long yesterday. And I'm going to get his name tatted in. It's right above my my Saints tattoo on my leg.
All right, you are a bigger fan.
You're a bigger fan of
them than I am of anything.
I have no recollection of seeing anything like that.
I didn't see anything like it either.
Weekends, I try not to do too much Twitter. In fact, if I'm on tweeting about sports map, then I'll respond to anything I see. But if most of the time I'm not following Twitter that closely.
Yeah.
All right, let's do one more, and then we got other stuff to move on to. Is that Carlo?
Carlo.
I was going to guess Carlo, but I didn't want to be wrong. What's up, Carlo?
Sports guys, how's it going?
Yeah, we're doing sports.
Hey, I have a quick question, really quick. How much of the Patriots' success can be contributed to their use of analytics and how they process data? Just a quick question.
I think some, but you can also, before analytics were a big thing in professional sports, the Patriots were already doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's, and to be honest, they've taken it to a new level in the things that they use, but the reality is analytics have been around for a long time. They used to call them tendencies. And even when I was playing, we were studying tendencies. And it's basically, you know, coaches have been doing this for a while without having a name on it and having a guy who's doing the research and says this guy should be this and this guy should be that. And it's cool because I think there's a renewed emphasis on it. But that stuff's been around for a long time. And, you know, a lot of people talk, oh, well, they deflate gate and this and that. Yeah, that explains all 9 Super Bowl appearances.
You're right.
Knuckleheads. Hate them all you want, but that doesn't fly either. All right, we're going to take a quick break, mix it up a little bit when we come back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780. ESPN's your number. 409 says getting a tattoo of a girlfriend or wife name is already risky. Getting a football player signature tattooed, you're a weird. Maybe, but I, you know what? I bet your fandom of the Saints is going to last longer than your marriage. So there's that.
That's probable, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, just that's how I see things. But did you see your Texans are going to be playing in London next year?
I did see that. You going to make a road trip?
I'm thinking about
you
it.
You love yeah. going to see him play Jacksonville
well,
on the road.
It's funny because as soon as the wife heard that, she's like, okay, we got to find out the dates because she could turn it into a work trip. And, you know, I'd like to go. I don't want to go for long to London, but I'd like to go for a day or two. I don't want to do like a whole week there.
Yeah.
Because I would get bored. But it'd be kind of cool. So go do some sports map coverage while I'm there, you know, about everything in London. So I'm interested in going.
Okay.
Because I've never been to London and, you know, we've got some friends there now, so it'd be kind of cool, but. Good for them. They don't lose a home game, which is important. But, yeah. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Can I mix it up a little bit here?
Sure.
How big of a fan of you are you of Hafþór Bjarnason, better known as?
The Mountain.
The Mountain.
Yeah, he's a pretty bad dude.
He's 6'9", weighs 403 pounds. He's very strong. He's one of the world's strongest man. Would you like to hear what his daily diet is? Because I find this fascinating.
Okay.
Okay. He starts off with 6 eggs, 6 pieces of bacon, and sometimes a cup of rice. Then he has 6 other meals throughout the day where he devours 8 ounces of ribeye steak with a side of 7 ounces each of rice, carrots, and red bell peppers.
Okay. How many ounces of steak?
8.8.
All right.
So, it's not that crazy, right? But then CNBC decided to price out how much it would cost if he bought the food. Now, to be fair, they did it at New York City, so it's way more to make it look more expensive.
Yeah.
But a week's worth of food for Hafþór, $426. The average cost for men 19 to 50 should be between 42 and 84. I spend a lot more than 84 bucks a week on food.
Yeah.
This is kind of dumb.
But we're also eating like junk food and stuff like that.
And that's not so much. I'm usually, I eat at restaurants a lot though. And
oh yeah.
No alcohol in there. That's yeah. But it says to eat like the Mountain for a year would cost you $22,000, which doesn't sound that expensive to me.
Well, depends on what your budget is.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
But
true. If you're making $22,000, that's too much money.
When you consider, I think his job is basically being strong.
Right, where you have to eat a lot.
So that's, I mean, I'm guessing maybe it's like a tax write-off.
Probably so. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. This kind of snuck under the radar because it happened over the weekend, but you see that the A&M and Texas presidents want to renew their rivalry?
I saw that. I don't know if I believe it.
I think it kind of seems like they're just trying to placate people at this stage. But it'd be nice to see. I just don't, you know, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, there's the same old political BS is what they're talking about. I don't know. I don't know what's really holding them back other than
bitterness both ways.
Exactly. And neither wants to lose to the other.
Right.
I mean, it's, which is weird because that's what rivalries are, you know?
Yeah.
You think Michigan wants to lose to Ohio State every year? They definitely don't. But it's not like they're just going to say, well, we're not playing this anymore.
All right, we're going to go to a new conference, and then when we do, we'll never play again.
Like, let's just play the games, man.
All right, can we do one more call?
Let's do it.
Who is that? That is
Bernard.
Bernard.
Oh, boy. Look at what he wants to talk about.
What's he want to talk about?
What's up,
thanks,
Bernard?
Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get your opinion on the Pacquiao-Broner fight. And in particular, you guys have seen a lot of boxing. What's your perspective on when should a referee stop a fight due to a cut? If you guys saw that fight,
that was
a pretty bloody fight.
That fight should have been stopped, but mostly because that guy, he couldn't defend himself. I mean, he's getting his head whopped around and he's bleeding out. I mean, that should have been stopped, I thought earlier. But, you know, at some point, these guys are professional prize fighters. Sometimes I like to see them let go. As far as the Pac-Man Broner fight, my goodness. Did you watch
it? Yeah, I did.
Okay. Let me start off by saying Manny Pacquiao, I don't want to say he looks washed. I don't think he's washed, but he's clearly a shell of what he used to be. And he still just dominated Adrian Broner sucks. I don't think you can convince me otherwise at this point. Like, that guy is not a top level fighter. He can beat up on some bummy guys, but
he got punched in the mouth the first time. That was it for him against good fighters, in my opinion.
The 8 punches was the most he landed in a round. 8. And then somehow he thinks he still won the fight, which is, I mean, that's maybe even more unbelievable than the showing is he was legitimately convinced, I think, that he won the fight. He's just not good, and I think that my guess is that's the last time we'll see Adrian Broner on a pay-per-view because if you can't beat a well past his prime Manny Pacquiao, you
or
can't,
at least be competitive. He wasn't even that.
With a well past his prime Manny Pacquiao, who can we put you on pay-per-view with that people want to see that you have a chance with? There's not anybody.
And this one I know you tweeted about. Why do they have Stephen A. cover UFC?
Oh, boy. How much time do we have in this segment?
A few minutes. A
couple minutes.
Okay. Yeah, I tweeted out. This was a well-responded to tweet. I'll just pull it up. I said, oh, great. Stephen A. Smith is going to be on ESPN's UFC coverage. Always love guys who know nothing about a sport being put in an expert position. Quotes on expert. Gregory responds, obviously they should have chosen you because you know everything and are always right, or at least you portray yourself like that. What sports did you play? Football, baseball, wrestling growing up, and then I fought at a professional level. Any more misconceptions you have about me? Nope. That you're a racist dweeb is clearly evident. You can be excused now. I'm racist because I don't like Stephen A. Smith on UFC coverage? And I said, that's what I said. How dumb are you? Did you notice there's no complaint about Daniel Cormier? He's great. And newsflash, he's black. Nice try, race baiter. And then I get race baiter, a word used only by racists in a failed attempt to deflect scrutiny of themselves. It's no surprise you think I'm stupid. To you, all black people are. You really believe that your Stephen A. comment is the sole basis of me seeing you as the racist you are, LMAO. So I just said, I suppose to you all white people are racist. I feel sorry for you. And that's the end of the conversation. But, I mean,
I'd have dropped an okay, cool, hook 'em.
Yeah. I don't even know if there's, I don't know if there's black guys out there who like Stephen A. Smith. I mean, at least in the UFC. That's wild.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty bad, to be honest with you. But I count on guys.
Oh, look at this. He just responded to me, like, in this moment.
Yeah.
Nope, I don't, but you're supposing to know my thoughts again shows how you're racist. You think you're so superior that you know what others think. I feel sorry for you because your superiority complex only masks that in reality you feel inferior.
he's the one that projected thoughts onto me. Am I wrong? If I've just read you the whole conversation.
Yeah, I would have never gotten pulled into that conversation. When the guy tweeted the first one at me, I would have just blocked him. Because he's obviously trying to engage you and make you look bad and try to make himself look better. And, of course, he's doing the opposite. But you know, that I don't deal with people like that anymore. If that's their thought, nothing I say is going to change. I mean, listen, there's not a thing in there that you said that changed his mind.
No.
And was going to change his mind. And if you're that kind of person on Twitter.
I'm just going to. How's this for a response? Okay, cool.
I would say, okay, cool, hook him, because it's funnier.
Do I need to hook him?
Oh, yeah, I'd drop a hook him in there.
Is there a GIF for a hook him?
I'm sure there is.
You should start using okay, cool, sports.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
That's shutting down the conversation is what it's doing. You're not going to respond anymore. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. We've got a gym of the day that our buddy Eric Warner sent us. I think you saw that. And then Eric's going to be here in the 6 o'clock. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
Well, hello. To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Check out sportsmap.com for great stuff. Jason Braddock's debut on the site today. It's got everything you could possibly want to know about the Texans in the offseason. So, check it out, top of the page. And I was mentioning that I'll have some picks on the Pegasus at Gulfstream on richest race in the world. It's Saturday. And I'll just tell you there's a horse that always shows up in big races, who's always a big price, who I will be using. So I will let you guys know about it when the time comes. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. A gentleman was having chronic back pain, and he decided that he needed to do something about it and try to find something different.
Okay.
Now, my first thought would have been, you know, CBD oil, you know, maybe some Icy Hot, whatever. No, he injected himself with his own semen every month for a year.
Where did he inject it into? Into his backside?
I'm assuming, but basically says he decided to treat himself by resorting to an unusual remedy not supported by scientific research.
Oh, just kidding. It's the he did it to his arm.
Oh, okay. The alternative therapy.
He tried to mainline it.
It's just gross, right?
It's a horrible
but
idea.
Guess what? He showed up at a hospital in Dublin with, guess what? Severe back pain and a swollen arm.
Yeah, that's not going to... Did the internet tell him to do that?
Nope, he just decided to try it on his own as an innovative method. No medical advice, nothing. Bought a hypodermic needle online and injected himself with a monthly dose for 18 months.
This is why doctors were invented.
Yeah.
Because they go to school for a long time so they can tell you, hey, don't shoot your own semen into your arm to fix your back. That won't work.
That's just going to mess up your arm.
Yeah. And, so, I mean,
mess it's up. Like redneck stem cell.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think that's probably what he was thinking.
Boy. I mean, I don't know what he could have thought. It's a bad idea.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, I feel like, isn't there, what's that, WebMD, like where you can just go to the internet and see like what are some possible remedies. I can't imagine that anywhere on there it said shoot yourself up with semen.
Yeah. How about take some Aleve? That'll make it better. Regardless, that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
the gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Panock Jeweler gym of the day.
And thanks to our buddy Eric for passing that on. I guess he'll be here shortly. Right?
Oh, I'm getting, yeah, he will be here shortly. I'm getting more from Gregory.
Yeah.
I only suppose that all racist white people are racist. You're the same person who wrote that Kyler Murray unfollowed you because he cares what you think. People unfollow because they don't care, but not to David Dukes Jr. Kyler Murray unfollowed me because I called him short. That has nothing to do with him.
So you're heightist, but you're not racist.
Yeah, yes, everyone knows, especially when it comes to quarterbacks. And then he says, yeah, let the poor black guy make it. Because that's what I said. I feel sorry for you. And I just said, okay, cool sports. Yeah.
You can't win engaging those people. I don't know how many times I've told you, but the guys who have got their minds made up already aren't going to change. And he's already decided you're a racist, so okay, cool, sports. I guess that's part of the fun of Twitter is engaging idiots like that. That's not fun for me, so I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, you know what? You're blocked. Bye.
Yeah.
Because you can tell right off the bat when people are doing that stuff. And the other thing, too, is guys are always going to go after people with more followers because that's how they get followers. That's like, yeah.
Okay. I said, I think I'm just going to have to block him.
Well, I would have blocked him a long time ago. I would have never gotten to David Duke.
Yeah. I think that's the move. I won't even reply to it. I'll just block
him. Yeah, whenever people do that, I'll block him for. I'll block him for ripping on any of our clients. And
I don't like to block people, but I feel like the David Duke Jr. thing is uncalled for.
But the guy's not, you're not going to get through to the guy. He's just trying to get.
He's a dummy.
He's just trying to get your goat, and he succeeded.
He did.
And that's why when people try to do that with me, I just block them right off the bat so I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
So, Chris said, did y'all see Greta Van Fleet perform on SNL? I recorded it so I could fast forward through the show. Great music, but their Hobbit vibe kind of creeped me out. I have not seen it. I didn't realize they were going to be on SNL. I can't tell you the last time I actually watched SNL.
It wasn't good.
Oh, really?
I watched, there's a...
Greta Van Fleet wasn't good?
Very lackluster. I didn't watch the entire Saturday Night Live. I saw bits and pieces of it, but I rewatched the Greta Van Fleet stuff, and they're not really... They don't have a good stage presence. But what annoyed me more is they keep telling people not to keep comparing them to Led Zeppelin. They look exactly like Led Zeppelin, so how are you not going to compare them to that?
Yeah, I don't know how they... I loved them until they said Led Zeppelin isn't an influence. And I was come on, dude. Like, you don't have to lie to me. I get it. I mean, you want to be your own thing, but write your own cool songs. And they have. But let's not pretend like you weren't influenced by that. It's too close.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I don't know why guys want to run from that, but, you know, your influences are your influences. And if that's not one of them, you're just lying.
Yeah.
All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. 281 says, never got on the Twitter bandwagon and doesn't sound like I'm missing anything.
No.
You're not. If I didn't have to have Twitter for work, I wouldn't have it.
Well. I went in today hoping I would be called a racist on MLK Day, and I guess I succeeded. So it's been a win, right? Mm,
I guess so.
If you think Kyler Murray's short and you think Stephen A. Smith doesn't know anything about MMA, you must be racist. Mm. So they got me. All right. Well, I guess it's great timing, guys, for me to tell you about Carbach and everything that's going on out at Carbach, including the newest beer they've got out. Is this the Carbach Bock? It's Carbach's got it going on. They're in the swing of things with the Astros, and this you like that? Yeah, Eric liked that. This is a beer that's going to be made available to everybody eventually, but for right now, Crawford Bach it's a baseball themed beer, and you're all gonna love it. Everything they do is for their fans and community is what they said, and they're hoping that when people go out and watch an Astros game, this is the beer that they enjoy. Carbach's been partners with the Astros for a long time, so they decided to put together a beer for them. Fans wanting a sneak preview of Crawford Bach can visit the 2019 Astros Fan Fest on January 26th for an exclusive first taste. Actually, it'll be second taste because I think we're going to taste it here in just a minute. So... Sorry, guys. And then it'll be available starting the first week of March at Minute Maid and then in six packs at local grocery stores and liquor outlets and in a couple bars across Texas. Follow Carbach on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see everything they're doing. Go out to the restaurant, enjoy that fantastic food and all the great beer they've got on the wall there. And when you're out and about, ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
ESPN 97.5.